PBS thing, I think, is starting tomorrow. So I think it has a theme of the water. So I know that there are several people get excited about it, and we're praying that this will be a good event reaching young people. And, yeah, so every year, last week of June, just kind of put it on the calendar. That's kind of been where it's been landing on our calendar. But I did want to share something before I begin here. Bob, who is wherever he went. Yeah, there he is. So Bob's been with us pretty much since we started the church, and so he runs and directs the mill ministry. But Bob and his family, if you've seen, their house had caught on fire and lost all their vehicles, and so and now he's living with his daughter for right now. Parents are in his sister's, but so anyway, they lost a lot. And so with the fire department doing all their investigations, things take a little bit of time, but there is a GoFundMe page. Now, here's the thing. Bob is not a great receiver. He's just a good giver. So some people just have the gift of giving. And remember we did this series a couple weeks ago about the spiritual gifts. Some people who are givers have a hard time receiving. So God has a spiritual, Bob has a spiritual gift of giving, but has a problem receiving. So it took a minute, but there is a GoFundMe page. You can find it on Facebook. If you look for him, you'll find it. And then in a few weeks, once he gets through some things, I'll have him, he wants to share a few words, but I want him to go through a few more things first and work through this piece here. And I'll give him a few minutes to share how this has some really good things in it. And I just want to see, I'm wanting to hear. I always hear the bad, but I always love to hear what God is doing in that. So one thing I know this, Bob wants you to pray for him and his family. And also pray that everything will work out, that they can go ahead and get that house rebuilt and all that needs to be done. But if you'd like to give something, you can do it on the Facebook GoFundMe page. So before I begin my part, I just want to pray for Bob, pray for his family right now. So if you join me. Father, Lord, we want to say thank you for the gift of life. Life is a gift that you've given to us. And sometimes, Lord, there are surprises in life that we just wake up to. And sometimes those surprises are not good. But, Lord, I just want to pray for Bob and his mom and his dad. As they work through this, Lord, I pray, Father, that they would rest in your assurance, rest in your peace. And we want to lift them up to you and all that will go well with the insurance and the fire department and all that. And I pray, Father, Lord, you just give much mercy and much grace on this situation. And show yourself not only to this family, but show yourself to this community. And we ask it that your name be lifted up all through it. In Christ's name, amen. All right. Well, today we're going to be in Acts chapter 27. And so in Acts chapter 27, we're going to talk about a shipwreck. And I did not plan this with the VBS theme. So it is... yes, and all I am is looking at all this stuff here, which is good. It's exciting. So tomorrow night, I think about the kids will be filled up here, and those who are coming for the week. Is this our first 5 week one we've done in a long time? Second. We started off with a 3, then 2, then 3, 4, 3, whatever. But we're doing 5 weeks or 5 days, not 5 weeks, 5 days this week. And we're not like 5 weeks. Yeah. Well, Paul is an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he loves to share the gospel, and that's what exactly him sharing Jesus is what got him in trouble. Sometimes doing the right thing and doing it for the Lord will get you in trouble. He is now pleading to go to Rome to hear his case, and he's on a ship, and this Julius guy is the Roman soldier who's in charge. And there's 276 people on this ship, and they are sailing toward Rome. And it should be an easy adventure, but it is not. How many of us today think life is easy? I got no hands. Okay. Life is difficult. It is difficult. It is difficult. And it's not because God makes it difficult. It's because we have sin in our lives. We're going to talk about storms of life today. And sometimes these storms are caused by our own self. Yes. Yeah. Sometimes these storms are caused by other people. Yes. They are caused by other people. Sometimes these storms are caused just because it's a part of life. Life happens. Life happens. And sometimes these storms, God allows these storms and causes storms as well. So there's a lot of ways that these storms happen. And we see Paul getting into on a ship and they're having some issues. They're already having issues on this storm. They're out there. They're heading toward Rome. They're in the middle of the sea. If you've ever been out to the ocean, ever been on a boat, maybe in Lake Erie, maybe one of the Great Lakes, you ever get out far enough where you can't see land. It's okay if it's a sunny day, it's a beautiful day, you can see everything, and it feels good. It's nice, the waves aren't too bad, and you're just out there enjoying the sunshine. Either you're fishing, you're cruising, whatever it is, it's beautiful. And then all of a sudden, out on the far distance and horizon, you see clouds begin to come. And all of a sudden, it gets a little bit cooler. All of a sudden, the waves get a little bit bigger. And so that's what happens in our life sometimes. We love those sunny days. I do. I love those days of blessedness. I love those good days. But it's when it gets tough and the bad storms begin to rise up, we find out really what we're truthfully made of in our walk. See, a lot of people talk about Jesus in the church, but they don't talk to him about him out there. A lot of people want to walk and do the things that the church teaches, that the Bible teaches, and they want to do it in church, but they don't do it out there. And so it's in those storms when we find out really who we are. And those storms are really that God allows us. It's all about us growing in our walk with him. But I want to pick it up in chapter 27 here. And verse 9, there's a couple things here. He says, by now much time has passed and the voyage was already dangerous. So this voyage did not start off well at all. It did not start well at all. And then Paul begins to speak. He says this in verse 10. Men, I can see this voyage is headed toward disaster. Heavy loss, not only for the cargo and the ship, but also our lives. But the centurion paid attention to the captain and the owner of the ship rather than to what Paul said. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided to set sail from there. So you have a group of people that's doing this. They're conversating. It's kind of ironic that Paul's even being in this group because he is a prisoner. But something about God is using Paul. Paul is a strong leader. And so here we find out you have the owner of the boat, you have the captain of the boat, you have Julius there who's in charge of the soldiers there, charge of all the prisoners that they're taking to Rome and whatever else business that they have. And they had these group of people that are sitting and figuring, do we need to go on? And Paul says, listen to me. That takes a lot of guts to speak to these knowing that he's a prisoner. Listen to me. We best not go is what he's saying. We better not go. But we hear the same thing. We do the exact same thing in our life. We want to listen to the world, but not to the men and women of God. And here it is. They decided to take a vote. And the majority decided to set sail. The majority decided to set sail. So we find out the majority. The majority is not always right. Do you know that? The majority is not always right. Most of the time in the world, the majority is not right. Because they always choose what they want to do, what feels good, where it doesn't give you any conviction, where it doesn't make you feel bad. But the majority wants you to feel good and what's best for self. And Paul says we shouldn't be on this ship sailing right now. I was like, probably thinking, oh, he just wants to save his lives, but he's ready to go to Rome as well. But here we find out they decided to go. But what happens here in verse 13? When a gentle south wind sprang up, they thought they had achieved their purpose. In a storm, sometimes you get this moment where it's getting all stormy and everything. It's getting rough a little bit. And all of a sudden, you see this glimpse of sunshine. And you go, it's over. And then the black cloud just comes right back over it. It just fools you. It fools you. And people think they're through it. Oh, we did it. We made the best decision. But no, they did not. But we... Verse 14, but before long, a fierce wind called the Northeaster rushed down from the island. Here we find out what all this dangerous storm they're going through. Now they even got one with a name on it. You know, when you're watching the news, you watch the Weather Channel, and there's storms that actually get names. Right? Back then, they were naming them. And this is a name. That means this is was a big one. And if you don't like water out in the middle of nowhere, you would not want to be in this position. You would not want to be in this position. It's amazing. If you go back and you can kind of look at some news clips, you can see these cargo ships these big cargo ships with all these containers, and these waves hit it, and you can see these containers that weigh thousands of pounds just thrown flying right off. Listen, folks, the ocean is big. It's deep. It's got a lot of creatures in it. It does whatever the ocean does. It is huge. It covers more of the world than land does. It can be fierce and can be strong and do a lot of damage. And that, you know, the scripture says in the end times that God will raise them all, raise all people up. I just wonder how many people are at the bottom, how many bones are at the bottom of the ocean. Well, we know by the Titanic there are many there. But there's so many pirate ships, so many ships. We know there's some great big ones up there, even in the Great Lakes, that are at the bottom. And so the ocean just is so big. But I want to remind you that it's not bigger than God. I want to remind you it's not deeper than God. And here we find out that this ship is in a bad place. But I want to remind you also of this. No matter how bad your situation is, when there is a Christian there, that's a good thing. That's a good thing, because Christians do something that other people don't do. They pray. But they pray with a purpose, not to a God they don't know, but to a God they do know. And here we find out some things are getting ready to happen. It's getting ready to be real ugly. Verse 18 says, because we were being severely battered by the storm, they began to jettison, which means throw out the cargo on the next day. The next day, on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. For many days, neither sun nor stars appeared, and severe storm kept raging. Finally, all hope was fading that we would be saved. Now they're starting to begin to dump resources. Things that they thought that they needed, they begin to dump them overboard because their lives were more important than those things. Well, what's happened here is now the sun, they're not seeing the sun. But even in the evening, they're not even seeing the moon and the stars. It is just pitch black. Hearing the roar of the waves hitting back and forth on this ship. Sometimes it feels like life, doesn't it? You're like, come on, I can't take another hit. I can't be out here any longer. I don't know how to get through this. But it says for days the sun and the stars would not shine. And then what happens is we feel like all hope is gone. You ever feel like that? That there is no hope? I want to remind you, with Jesus there's always hope. And your hope is in Jesus, not in anything else. It is, our hope is in Christ. What happens is that when hope begins to appear, people begin to do stupid things. People begin to do the things they shouldn't do. We jump over here to verse 30, or verse 27. When the 14th night came, now you need to understand that the Jewish, the 14th night doesn't start. The 14th, a day doesn't start at 6 o'clock in the morning. It starts at sunset. This is, if you read this, you would get confused on it. So the 14th night came, we were drifting in the Adriatic Sea. If you've ever been to the Adriatic Sea, actually it was the first sea that I've ever seen. The first ocean I ever seen was the Adriatic Sea. And it's right there with Italy, right there in that big there. But you get out in there, you cannot see land. And I remember the first time fishing in Lake Erie. It was the first time I ever did that, fishing in Lake Erie. And you're in this little boat. There's like six of us on there fishing. And I looked up. I'm like, oh, my goodness, where's land? And I seen they had a compass on the boat. And without that compass, you're lost. You are lost. And these captains would use the stars to navigate by and can't see the stars. And so what happens in verse 30, it says some sailors tried to escape from the ship. The sailors tried to escape from the ship. They're in a storm and they tried to escape from the ship. Now, a couple of things dawn on me. This does not make sense to me. Why would you try to escape in a smaller boat when you're in a big boat? These were men also who were sailors, who knew how to sail. But they wanted to get into a small boat. But we do the exact same thing. We do the exact same thing. We got a storm in our life, and some of us run to alcohol, thinking we can escape the storm in our life. Some of us run to drugs, trying to escape the problems that we have in life, and so we run there. Others go into spending money that they don't have. Others go into doing other things and doing, trying to escape the problem, trying to escape something in marriage, trying to go and run off into a porn world because they're not satisfied at home, or they're come to a place where I don't like my spouse anymore. I'm going to change because I'm not going to work out my issues, so I'm going to go do this. And we find out here that people are trying to escape their storm all the time. Getting in a smaller boat in the same storm. That's why these things never work. That's why these things, they never work out. And you think that these sailors would know better. But when you lose hope and you lose direction, we do stupid stuff. But that's what the world does. That's what the world does. That's what they do. But let me remind you, God is always doing something and you don't have to see it. But sometimes you are privileged to see it. Let's go backwards to verse 21. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul then stood up among them and said, now Paul has taken leadership. Leadership is not doing a really good job right now. Everybody's thinking about their lives, but I want to share something here with you. This is what he says. You men should have followed my advice. How many of you told your kids, you should listen to me? But they don't. They get back in that boat and they'll do it again for the 14th time in a row. They'll do it 20 times. Because you said it, they don't want to listen to you. But you know what? We did the same thing to our parents. So let's laugh at that too. We did the same thing as our parents told us. We didn't want to listen to them either. But somehow as we grew through all that, we found out that, wow, I'm a parent now and I tell them what to do. Why don't they listen to me? Because I didn't listen to my parents. But he says, you men should have followed my advice not to sell from Crete and sustain this damage and loss. Nothing is always more hurtful than when somebody reminds you of the pain you just went through. You shouldn't have listened to me, son. You did the wrong thing. You shouldn't have listened to me, daughter. You shouldn't have did. And they, you know what? Most of the time they know it, but they don't want to hear it. And here we find out, now I urge you to take courage because there will be no loss of any of your lives, but only the ship. For the last night, an angel of God I belong, the God I belong to, and I serve, stood by me and said, don't be afraid, Paul. It is necessary for you to appear for Caesar. I want to give you a side note here. If God has a plan for you, don't you think something's going to not? If God has a desire, he has a plan, it will come to be. And no storm's going to stop it. Okay? And then he said, and indeed, God has graciously given you all those who are sailing with you. What he's saying is that everybody here is going to live. So take courage, man, because I believe, God, that it will be just the way it was told to me. But we got to run on some ground on some island. That was a little prophetic piece right there. Listen, I'm going to remind you, those prophetic pieces are very important. And the moment they're said, sometimes they're not as important. But when they happen, it's like, oh, the lights come on. But here we find out, he says, I believe God. Now, you got to remember, people believed in all kinds of gods and all kinds of idols and all those. And none of them showing up because they're all dead. None of them real. But he says, God visited me through an angel. And this is, listen, when people are in a moment of tragedy like this, when their life is on the line, a lot of people will start turning toward God real quick. Even if they rebelled him all their whole life. A lot of people will return, will turn to God. Not all, but a lot of them will. So I'll just say that night, here's what happens. Paul is visited. You know, God visits you and I too. when we pray. God visits in His Word. When we read His Word, He speaks to us in His Word. But also I want to remind you, God still visits people in dreams. God still visits people. He speaks to His Holy Spirit. God is not a mute God. He is a live God and has a lot to say. And we should listen. So I want to go back now to this piece. The sailors tried to escape. Just as I shared, many of us are trying to escape a storm. But Paul said in verse 31 to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut the ropes holding the skiff and let it drop away. Here's what's happening. You can find out now who's leading this mess, this disastrous thing. Paul is taking charge. Listen, sometimes as Christians, we need to stand up and take charge of a situation. Put ourselves out on the line. Take faith and speak up, even amongst non-believers. Here's what we find out that's happening. Paul says, listen, remember, Paul said, God visited me with an angel, visited me. Said, everything's going to be all right. But now we got these men trying to jump the ship. And Paul says, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Right? And then the soldiers went over and they cut that ship away. And they said, "Boy, you boys ain't getting off here. We in this thing together. We're in this thing together." So they just cut it and they let it go. And so here it is. Sometimes we need to quit trying to run from the storm. Hold on who's going with us, because we need each other. And let's go through this thing together, because I will tell you, storms start. And no matter how hard they are, there is an end to a storm. There is an end to every storm. So the soldiers cut the ropes that was holding it and they let it drop away. Kind of taught those sailors something, huh? They were starting to become people that were believing in Paul, a prisoner. You don't think people believed what Paul was saying? No, they were believing it because those soldiers went over there and cut that boat off. I just wonder if they was able to see it with the waves coming and crashing over to let it sink. Because you don't go in a small boat in a storm. Stay in the biggest boat you can. But when you lose all hope, you do stupid stuff. And then there comes these moments in a storm. It's not gone. But something sometimes special happens in a storm. Let's find out what happens. Verse 34, "So I urge you to take some food." So Paul is this moment. Daylight is kind of coming out, but they're still in this storm. And this ship is in bad shape. Daylight's kind of coming. It's breaking through. This is the 14th day. But previously I told you about the 14th night, but the 14th day. But here it is. He says, "Today is the 14th day that you have been waiting and going without food." Could you imagine 2 weeks without food? Would you want to eat with a ship that's going up and down anyway? No, no. And you want to know something? When you're going through a storm, most of us don't eat much. We're stressing. Now, some of us will gorge food and will be the complete opposite. We do. But here we find these men, they're not eating. So there must be something at least positive happening here. He says, "You have been waiting and going without food, having eaten nothing." He says this, "So I urge you to take some food, for this is yours for your survival, since none of you will lose a hair on your head." That is encouragement. When someone speaks out in a moment of distress, words of encouragement are more powerful than you will ever know. You ever been through a time when someone gave you words of encouragement? Yeah. He says, after he said these things and had taken some bread, here's what he does. He gives thanks to God. How do you give thanks to God? You pray. You pray and you think. He says, in the presence of all of them, and after it, he broke it and he began to eat. And they were all encouraged and they took food themselves. Here's what we're finding out. In the middle of this storm, coming to this ending part, what we're finding here is Paul is taking this time. It's time for us to eat for our own fleshly, physical health. Here he says this, We're just not going to, we're going to give thanks to God. You ever get thanks in a storm? Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard when you're giving thanks in the storm when things are falling apart and nothing's working out. Everything around you just seems like nothing is working. God's not answering prayer. You can't get, you go 3 feet forward, you go 10 feet back. That's a storm. You feel like you can go forward, but you know you can't. And then you're feeling like all, everything is doom and gloom. But I want to tell you, as a Christian, you got to knuckle down. You got to bear down. And here, I'm telling you here, this is the most priceless piece right here. He begins when he says, we're going to eat. Let's give thanks to God. I don't think they were thinking about anything else but their lives. It's funny how our possessions are very important for us, but then when our life is involved, they become nothing. In fact, they were throwing them over a couple of times. And they were all encouraged. Let me just tell you about encouragement. When you do something like this, even the lost people in your group are encouraged when you pray. Even lost people, when you share a prayer, you sharing words of encouragement through the Word, they are encouraged, because when there is no hope, people will grab on to something that they know is real. And they've already seen some things that God has already done. And then we come to this piece here. It says there were 276 on the ship. And when they had eaten enough, they began to lighten the ship by throwing all the grain overboard in the ship. So they begin to throw all the food off the ship. We got to make it lighter. It's taking on water. Still not looking good. But when daylight came, they recognized there was some land. I don't think they cared what land it was at. They just wanted to get off that boat. But the issue was, the boat wasn't going to go with them. It says they saw a beach. They didn't know where it was, but they saw a beach. They planned to run the ship ashore if they could. Basically, they're going to run as far up as they can. And they were going to let it go, and then they were going to get there. But they struck a sandbar. And it says the bow jammed fast and remained immovable. I'm going to tell you, it's just like a storm. You go through it and you have this moment. Yes, we're praying. We're going to be good. And all of a sudden, something else happens. Something else happens. Now this boat has hit and it's going to sink now. It's done hit the rocks. It's not doing good. It hit the sandbar. It's done for. The bow jammed fast and remained immovable while the stern began to break up by the pounding of the waves. Here we got another group that's getting ready to go crazy. It's called the soldiers. Now the soldiers, what they do, we got to kill these prisoners. That's what we got to do. And that means Paul included. It doesn't matter what the world wants to do. God still has a final say. God said, I got to get my man Paul to Rome. And here's what happens. This guy, Julius, he's the one, he says, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. So anyway, anybody that needed to, they let some soldiers get up on the beach so that none of these guys would run. And then if you couldn't swim, they got on these pieces of wood and they got all the way up to the island. And everybody made it to where they needed to go. And then it says, in this way, everyone safely reached the shore. Once safely ashore, we then learned that the island was called Malta. What an adventure. When you're talking about, Jimmy, that was a storm, I wouldn't want that. Let me tell you something. When you're with Christ, storms become testimonies. Testimonies you share with others about what Jesus did for you in your storms of life, that you can share with them, that they can get through their storms in life. God has allowed this to happen for this peace. But I want to remind you that storms, just because you went through one doesn't mean you're not going to go through another. This is just one piece of Paul's life in storms. Let me go here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Let's talk about storms in Paul's life. Paul says, 5 times I received 40 lashes minus from the Jews, which means he was whipped. He was whipped 5 times. 39 times, 5 times. Okay? You think his storms ended there? Nope. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I received a stoning. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I have spent a night and a day in the open sea. On frequent journeys, I faced dangers from rivers and dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers among false brothers, toil and hardship, many sleepless nights, hungry and thirsty, often without food, cold and without clothing, not to mention other things. There is the daily pressure on me, my concern for all the churches. I don't think I've been through that many storms. But they're different storms. We face different storms. He faced different storms than we are facing different storms. Some of you have faced different storms than even Paul have faced. But here's the thing. Paul didn't quit. Paul didn't run away. He didn't swim away. He didn't find another way to get away from them. He dealt with them because he knew what his purpose was, to be the apostle that God's called him to be, to share the gospel. And his piece here is amazing. He didn't say all these other things. He says, not to mention other things, there is the daily pressure on me, my concern for all the churches. You see, when your focus is bigger than yourself, you can get through those storms. But when it's all about you, you're going to sink quick and you're going to sink fast. It doesn't work without God. You can't get through these storms without God. Sometimes we struggle with needs in our life. We struggle with needs in our church or needs in ministry. And we wonder, we hear these, we're like, wow, they were even dumping resources out. They were dumping resources like 3 times in this story. They dumped a little bit, they dumped a little bit more, and then they threw the whole chunk out, and the ship still sank. Because I'm going to remind you, the journey that God wants us to go on, the things that we go through in those storms, what we feel is important is not always what is important to God. Not always what is important to God. Here's what Paul says to the church of Philippi. When they're going through what they need to go through, he says, Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. What? How can he say that? He can say it because he knows it. He can say it because he wrote it. He says it out of experience. He says it from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you, those storms that we have, just be prepared. Enjoy the blessings that God gives to you, because there's another one coming over the horizon. It's going to be different than the one you just went through. But the one you just went through is going to fuel your faith and strengthen you for the next one you're getting ready to go to. Thank God he doesn't tell us what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day or the next year. Because some of us are going to go through some grueling storms in life. And my question is, what are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? For the sailors, it was selfishness, trying to escape something they should have been working at. Trying to escape. The sailors, let's just get rid of the dead weight. Let's get rid of the prisoners. Let's take some stress off of us. We don't have to watch them. We can be done with this right here and right now. But in the midst of all that was going on, God's grace was found even on the lost. Because Paul said, even God has given us all these people, that they were going to be safe. All of them was going to be safe. Because God had something that was very valuable on that ship. He had a believer named Paul. I got a mission for Paul. He's going to Rome and he's going to share the gospel in Rome. And Paul does an amazing job when he finally gets to Rome. And he dies in Rome. Some of us today are living pretty good in the sunshine, amen? It feels good to be in the blessings of sunshine and God's blessings, just to bask in his ray of grace and his ray of just blessing and mercy, and things are going well. And I say, good for you. Enjoy that. That's part of being a Christian, knowing that you can have peace when the world don't have peace. That's good. And some of you have just got out of a storm, and you're like, man, I'm about done with that. And then you're looking over there and you're thinking, wow, I see black clouds arising. It's not time to stop going to church. It's not time to stop reading your Bible. Listen, it's time to buckle down. Because you don't know what's in that storm. And you're going to have to ride it out. And some of us right now may not be basking in the sunshine on the beach in sense of life. Or some of us may not be just coming out of that storm. Some of us may be in the storm right now. And you're looking at some things that you think that would be a good escape. I'm going to say, don't grab them. Even though they look enticing and they got a shortcut. And let me tell you, it's not a shortcut. God has a plan to get you through that. But here it is. This is where your faith is tested. You need to sink in. You need to dig in deep and say, listen, the Lord is my God. He is my author and perfecter. He is my God and my Savior. He is the one that guides all things in my life. I'm going to focus on Him. He never told me all my days were going to be awesome and great. He never said all my days were going to be filled with sunshine and blessings. But He did say He would never leave me and He would never forsake me. And that's something I can count on in my worst, hardest, darkest storm. That He is there. That He is there. And no matter what happens with ministry when the funds are low, that He is the supplier of our needs. There's all kinds of ways to raise money, but I'm telling you, it is Jesus Christ. I'm going to stand on Scripture no matter what all the corporations and all the places. I'll do some of those things, but I want to tell you at the end of the day, I'm going to stand on Him. And my God will supply our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Because no matter what, a corporation is limited. Everyone is limited financially, but God is not. God supplies His people. And I give testimony to share that Jesus Christ has continued to fulfill all the things that He needed to do with my life personally and also in this church's life and in this ministry's life. Success is not how much money you have in the bank or how big a house you have or how big your company is. Success is following the will and the ways of God so that He can say, well done, good and faithful servant. Not one that's got on a little boat and tried to find their own way. Listen, the world says, try this, try that, try this and try that. I got a couple minutes. I'm going to close with this. I wasn't planning on I'm going to do this. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but I always want to say, this country takes more pills than any other country in the world because we mentally are a mess. Number two, 40% of babies that are born in America are born out of wedlock. 40 million people struggle with alcoholism starting at the age of 12. Porn is the fastest growing addiction that there is. Not just for men now, but it's for women. And not just for men and women, but now it's for boys and girls. The world is saying this is okay. Let's not fight it. Let's just say that lifestyle is okay. This lifestyle is okay. You can do this. You can do that. Let's promote this, promote that. But listen, they'll change. You'll keep changing to whatever makes you feel good. But this is the Word of God that stands on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, and it will not change. It doesn't change. And I'm thankful that we have a God that doesn't change. It keeps and says, hey, I can keep working toward this. Not that I work toward heaven. Not that I work for my salvation. But I work and serve because He saved me to give me a new life, a new creation in Him. I'm going to have some storms. Brothers and sisters, you're going to have some storms. Now you can do it without Him, or you can do it with Him. And you that done it without Him know that it don't work. But you that choose Him to ride out that storm with you, listen, I'd rather have Him than have the whole world with me. Listen, a lot of people with a big bank account that's going to go to hell. There's a lot of people that have done a lot of big things and a lot of good things in this world that are going to go to hell. But listen, the end of my destiny, the end of my road, the end of your journey is to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And to get there, to get to heaven, I'm going to have to go through some storms. And I don't like storms. I don't like them. Because they're painful. And they play games with your mind. And you can't find your direction. And then you get to a point, Lord, are you here? Come on now. You here? Do you hear my prayers today? And as part of you, sometimes in our mind we say, I feel like you're not here. I feel like you're not listening. I feel like you don't care about me. And we've been there. But listen, I go back to the Word of God and He says, I'm there. I've always been there. I've always been there. You know, a storm of life that people don't think it is losing a loved one. Losing a loved one can be tough. That's a storm. But I want to remind you, when they're a believer in Jesus Christ, man, from what I read in Scripture, God knows how to take care of those who their time is done here on earth. They're no longer in a storm. Father, we're going to take a moment here just to reflect on what you'd have for us today. May your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand. Our time here. I know it looks like